remember this. The only time God will call you is two things. God's never called nobody without there not being a change in their life. And then God might want to take and move you to another place. All the time, that's how he calls preachers and missionaries, to relocate them somewhere. Or maybe you might have a talent that God could use in another church somewhere. God might be trying to move you. Would you, if you went to heard today, the phone rang, and it said God on the caller ID, would you pick it up? Here's a short message, and I hope pray that it'll be a blessing to you. May God bless you now, Brother Johnny.
And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and look, and them that just call upon his name. And it says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I want you to look real closely at verse 16. He said, those that fear the Lord, he said, every time you talk about me, in other words, what he's trying to say, I'm so interested in what you're talking about, that whenever you get on the phone or you get in a private place or a public place and you begin to talk about him, he said, listen, angels, listen, Paul, listen, Peter, they talking about me down there. Then the Bible says that he wrote it in the book of remembrance. Every time, one day when you're going to get up before the Lord Jesus Christ, times that you forgot that you even talked about him on your job or in school or in private or just praise him, one day he's going to open a book of remembrance for every time that you thought about his name. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, that's exactly what he's going to do, brother. Or one day that's the way God's going to do. He's going to pull that book on you and show you something. Amen. Hello, Father. So good to talk to you. I know I just talked to you just a minute ago. But I'm not come prepared and want to talk to you. Amen. Amen, Lord. But listen. Amen. Lord, is there any certain thing that you need done around here tonight? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Lord. I'm your servant. And I'd be glad to do it. And I was going to be like saying, speak, Lord, my servant here, Lord. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Amen. Brother Craig, oh, yes, sir. Tonight he's on the front row. He's not tending the babies tonight. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, Brother Tim has done a great job here this week, Lord. He's been a blessing. Amen. He's been sick. I know you know all about it, but he's sure been here. Oh, yes, sir. I'll tell him. Hold on just a second. The Lord wants you to know, Brother Tom, that he loves you a whole lot. And everything's going to be all right. Amen. Is that right? Thank you, Father, for that good word. Amen. I don't know, Lord, how come when they see you on the caller ID, how come they don't want to talk to you, Lord? I don't know. Okay, Lord, I'll sure do it. Turn over to Haggai, chapter 2 tonight. Amen, Lord, I'll sure give it to them. I'll do exactly what you tell me to do. Amen. I'll sure do it, Lord. I know you love them, Lord. I know you want to talk to them, but Lord, I don't know if they're busy. I don't know if they're on the party line. I don't know what it is, but Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll sure tell them. I'll tell them exactly what you say and no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Did you know my number? Thank you, Lord. I love you. Bye, Lord. But tonight, if God calls your house, and he calls you on the caller ID, and you looked and you seen when you looked at the caller ID and it said God was on the line, would you pick it up? Because nobody ever talks to God unless there's going to be a change somewhere. Is that right? Whenever he calls your number to talk to you, he's got something important that he wants to talk to you about. That's why Peter said, make your calling and your election sure. Is that right? I mean, I'm so glad to know that he called me unto salvation. And not only that, but he called me to preach the gospel. Amen. We still believe in God called preachers. Is that right? Not mama called, papa said, but God called preaching. Amen. Now, whenever God calls your number, whenever, now we know God's phone number. You know what God's phone number is? It's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee. But the problem is not him answering us. Our problem is, it's answering him. And when he calls you, he's got something that he needs you to do. And I said something about people surrendering to the mission field. And the preacher was all excited about it. But when his daughter comes on and surrendered to give her life to the mission field and to go out to Bible school, he told her to sit down. But that was not her calling. But I'm telling you, God was calling that girl. Is that right? What do we do when God's on the caller ID? As you study your Bible, God called the men. Thank God, the Bible said he called unto Jonah the second time. Is that right? Maybe he's called you lately and you wouldn't pick it up because you seen he was on the line. I want you to know he's going to call back again. Is that right? He called Ezekiel. Nobody ever had a harder call than he ever did Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 24. He said, Ezekiel, I'm calling you to do something. He said, I want you to go preach. He said, but here's the problem, Ezekiel. You love your wife more than you do me. Tomorrow, Ezekiel, I'm going to take your wife with a stroke. Now, here's the whole kick of the whole thing. Ezekiel, I'm going to take your wife with a stroke, and I'm not going to let you go to the funeral. What about a phone call like that? Huh? What about a phone call like that? You see, the reason we don't want to pick up the phone is because we got a fear that God's going to ask us to do something. Is that right? We got a fear. And Ezekiel went and preached the next day, and people come told him, Ezekiel, we went to the funeral. He said, God told me I couldn't go, but I had to go and keep preaching. Is that right? God called Joseph and told Joseph, don't you worry about taking this woman. She's conceived of the Holy Ghost. So when you're talking about Mary and Mary, is that right? Amen. I want to show you something now in Haggai chapter 2. There was a phone call Hosea when his wife walked up and left him and playing the part of a harlot, and she wound up on the auction block and the men were selling her, and he had 3 children by that woman and he didn't even know their name. He said, one of them ain't even mine. What about a phone call like that? You think you had some hard calls? What if God was on the caller ID? It's like, I've got something I need you to do, but it's going to be hard, but I need you to do something for me. Let's see what he says here now in Haggai chapter 2, if you would, and verse 3, if you would. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3. Haggai, the preacher's asked the question. This is what God wants to ask you here tonight. Who is left among you that saw this house? Talking about the house of God, the temple. He said, who of you among you that seen this house in a first glory? And how do you see it now? Do you mark that place if you would? Who was here that seen the Faith Baptist Church when it first got started? He said, I'm not asking you how you used to see it years ago when you first got started. I'm asking you, how do you see it right now? Is that right? It doesn't matter. I mean, when you first got saved, you was all excited about the Lord. As the brother talked about being saved here, called to preach here, ordained here. That's good. That was years ago. But God is asking the question here tonight, how do you see it now? How do you see it in the year 2000? Not how did you see it then, but how did you see it now? Is that right? That's what God's wanting to know. Here's a few things. I'm going to do this. We're going home. He said, look here. He said in verse 3, let's finish off verse 3. Who is among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as a comparison of it as of nothing. He said, there's nothing in this world. When you first got saved, there's nothing compared to the house of God. But now, how do you see it now? He's trying to ask the children of Israel. He's saying, when you first got saved, you love the house of God. You love me, you love working for me. But how do you see it now? It's compared nothing to you nowadays. Is that right? See, a lot of times when God calls you, it's to try to get you to be in a deeper spiritual walk with Him. Here's some questions I want to ask you tonight. Here's some things. How do you see it now? How do you see Sunday school now? How do you see it? When you first got saved, they couldn't keep you out of the house of God. You were so excited about church and Sunday school and Sunday night. But the God wants to know the question, how do you see it now? Yeah. You remember, bless God, when you first got saved, by the grace of God, you couldn't wait to get out of the church at the Sunday school to be able to talk the scriptures and the word of God. Is that right? Huh? How do you see it now, though? Have you done said, well, I don't grow in grace, and now I don't need no teaching no more? No, you know, my friend, you still need Sunday school right now. Is that right? If you're a Sunday school teacher in this church or any other church represented here, how do you see your Sunday school class now? Is that right? I'm trying to tell you, every week you need to make a recommitment unto God that you ought to be the best, a Holy Ghost filled Sunday school teacher in Silicon, Alabama. Is that right? But you see, as I come all over this country, Sunday school is undoubtedly the most boring part of the whole hour of the church service. Is that right? They get into Sunday school, my brother, when they first got started, they would teach Sunday school from the Bible. Nowadays, they done got into quarterlies. Nowadays, they get into politics. Nowadays, they get into everything else. Is that right? How do you see it now? Just recently, this happened here a while back, Brother Tom.